Our first feature today is being read by Frances Pierce and is by Emma Brennan, who is asking, do we still make the effort to send out Christmas cards?
So just like that, the festive season is upon us again. I say it every year, but this time Christmas really has crept up on me. I'm no more ready for it than I ever am. That is apart from having stockpiled Christmas cards over the past few months. Yes, I'm one of those traditionalists who still likes to send and receive a physical card. There is nothing quite like hearing the letterbox jangle and a thud as the envelope hits the doormat. It's simply not the same as seeing an electronic version drop into your inbox with animated snowmen leaping about all over the screen. In this largely digital age, there is something really special about holding a tangible item in your hand, taking time to appreciate the picture and read the words inside. You can pick up a card again and again and display it on your mantel shelf throughout the Yuletide period as a physical reminder of the true sentiment behind Christmas, giving and sharing with a happy heart. Sending greeting cards has become an important part of our country's festive celebrations, although the first known actual Christmas card is believed to have been sent in 1611 by a German physician, Michael Meyer, to King James I of England. For many of the Christmas traditions we celebrate today, such as trees, crackers and cards, we have the Victorians to thank. According to the British Postal Museum, the first commercially produced Christmas card was created in 1843 by Sir Henry Cole, a civil servant who also helped set up the postal service in the UK. Before 1840, Britain's postal system was complex and costly, but this all changed with the introduction of the penny post in 1840 via which a letter or card was paid for in advance with a postage stamp that cost just a penny, known as a penny black. Advances in commercial printing in the 1860s meant that by the 1870s, sending Christmas cards was available to the masses and became firmly established as a British Christmas tradition. I must admit that I still favour what I consider to be traditional themes for my cards. But it wasn't until late Victorian times that robins and snow scenes, now synonymous with a British Christmas, became popular subjects. It's rather ironic that we still like to receive a snowy scene greetings card, given that we get so little of the stuff these days. I fear we will eventually become like Australia, where Christmas is a summer holiday and you're far more likely to receive an image of Santa on a surfboard than a sleigh. My love of Christmas cards goes back to childhood, when our family seemed to send and receive dozens each year. Once we had amassed more than enough cards to fill the windowsills and every other available standing surface, my sister and I would be tasked with arranging the cards into suitably balanced rows. My mum was very fussy in those days, which we would then attach with tiny plastic pegs to a piece of traditional string. Then with a drawing pin, Dad would suspend the card garlands from the wooden ceiling so they cascaded down the wall. When we were sent out to post our cards any time in December, the village postbox was usually so full that the envelopes were spilling out by lunchtime. You'd have to wait until early the next day after it had been empty to post what was usually a stack of envelopes, some of which were only travelling a few villages away to their destination. These days you can hear the Christmas card clanking on the bottom of the last remaining postbox as you drop it in, due to it very often being one of just a handful winging its way through the postal service. Increasingly, friends and family will say that they are giving to charity instead of sending cards. I know with the increase in postage charges plus the cost of living going up at an alarming rate, it can be an added expense to keep up the card-giving traditions. But to me, cards are in that bracket of celebratory gestures that are still relatively affordable compared to the joy they can bring. And if you want to boost good causes in the process, you can always buy charity Christmas cards. They are a great example of paper ephemera, items that have very little monetary value but great sentimental worth and are a wonderful prompt for memories. You can either keep them for posterity, as I have some of the more special ones I've received from dear family and friends over the years, or you can recycle them. So Mum and I will soon be getting our address books out, as we have for more than half a century, and we'll write our Christmas cards and send them by post. Sadly, many names of those who are no longer with us have had to be crossed off our lists over the years. But for the people who are left, receiving a card offers valuable contact with the past, a means of catching up on news, and a way to show that they are not forgotten. As my mum says, these days people just wish each other Merry Christmas on Facebook, but I don't have that. It's something that is done hastily and soon forgotten, but it takes time and effort to write a card. I still like to send and receive cards because it's a really nice way to keep in touch with people, even if it is only once a year.